There are a few topics that you aren't supposed to talk about in polite company, but we're not exactly polite company, are we? Today, we're getting honest about money, how money conflicts impact your marriage, what money problems are really all about, and how to approach money conversations with your partner without heading straight for World War III. You're listening to Honest Women, the podcast for every woman who's trying to juggle the relationships, roles, and responsibilities that come with modern womanhood and finding it all just a little harder than she thought it would be. We're your hosts, Andrea Berkeley
and Jessica Hutchison, your new besties who just happen to be therapists. And while we believe that life is hard and there's no tip or trick that will solve that, it does get just a little bit easier when we can be real with each other and talk about it honestly.
You're listening to Honest Women. Hey, Jess.
Hey, good morning, Andrea.
Good morning. So I'm going to jump right in and tell you about this bomb my husband dropped on me the other day.
You know how many thoughts go through my head when you say my husband dropped a bomb on me?
I mean, like, it's not any of those ones that you're thinking about, but it's serious. Okay. It's a very serious bomb. So he just casually like walks into the kitchen while I'm cooking or something and mentions that he just read an article in the Boston Globe that says that a number of New England colleges, and I'm sure more and more colleges, are now costing $90,000 a year with tuition, room, and board.
Mm-hmm.
And we have four kids, and we assume they're all going to go to college. And so he mentioned that with a couple other fees or time value of money or whatever, I was like blanking out at this point, that this is going to cost us $1.6 million to send our kids.
So many thoughts where I'm like, well, that's pointless.
I agree.
It's not worth it. Sorry, I won't even go there right now.
No, I know. We have to have that conversation another day.
Oh, yeah.
Because this is one topic, like, this is one part of the conversation around money that is stressful, but it's not the only part. So I have been super stressed about this since he said it. But like I said, this isn't like the only time I feel stressed about money. Generally, if we're talking about it, I am like dissociating, trying to find the nearest exit. I'm not a happy girl.
Mm-mm.
What does this conversation about money bring up for you when it comes up in your house?
It immediately spikes my cortisol levels.
Yes.
And my blood pressure. Mm-hmm. I hate the topic of money.
Mm-hmm.
Legit hate it. It makes me feel like I have to defend right away.
Yes.
So essentially it puts me on the defense, but it is not a topic of conversation that I am ever like, ooh, yay, fine, let's do it. Let's
talk about it. Actually, how do you guys handle your money? If you don't mind my asking.
Like today?
Yeah,
like today in the present? Mm-hmm. Because it's changed a lot. I will say that. It is not a reflection of how we handle money in our house today is not how it's always been in our marriage.
Mm-mm.
Today, it is, we are very open with everything. We have shared everything, even with my business, right? I have my own business.
Yeah.
So there is open communication. There are shared passwords. I know what bills are paid, when they're paid. I know how much money is in the bank. I know how much money is in, like, essentially everything.
Yeah. So it's
again,
open.
I want to reiterate, today.
Okay.
That's what it's like.
Yeah.
Today.
Okay. So it's open, but is it like stress-free?
Hell no.
Okay.
And to be fair, hell no. However, if I'm being honest, it is not stress-free for me anymore. Because our history with money has changed in the seasons of our marriage, I will openly admit that it has become more stressful for me because I know too much now.
Mm-hmm.
I know it all. And there's a part of me that wants to put my head back in the sand and pretend I don't know any of it.
Mm-hmm.
However, I do remember being stressed about that a little bit, but I'm pretty sure money has always been a stressor for my husband, and now it's a newer, bigger stressor for me.
Yeah. So I am almost embarrassed to say that it has changed in our house, but in the opposite way. Mm. So you know, I have a CPA.
Yes.
Like, I'm supposed to be good with numbers. I started working when I was 14. I always, you know, had my own credit card, bought my own car, all those things. was involved in the money, used to have like the budget and the things, right? Used to pay my own bills. I don't anymore. I know nothing about it. Like,
I'm like jealous a little bit, even though I used to be on the opposite end of it, where you're at now.
I don't know. I'm a little jealous.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know
that I want. I don't want to know anymore.
I know this conversation is going to shape some of how I behave around money, but it is so stressful that we've been like partners in avoiding having real conversations for a long time, at least real good conversations.
Ditto. Even though I know everything, I think at one point my husband was like, hey, maybe we can have an adult conversation about like money and finances. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey, I'm going to my room. Fuck off.
Yeah. So this got me thinking, if this topic is this big and this stressful, we need to talk about it on Honest
We're
Women.
Two couples therapists who talk about this stuff inside of our offices all the time. And then we're like, hee hee, but we don't do it.
100%.
But before we do that, you know what is completely free and lowers your stress, at least by the end of a quick 30-minute episode? This podcast.
Yes,
you
girl.
Can see me pointing to this podcast, right? So make sure you follow us because you don't want to miss a single honest conversation.
Yes.
So wherever you're listening or watching us, make sure you hit that little button that says subscribe.
Yes, girl. Because even when we start stressful, we get unstressed. We can't avoid this, friends. We cannot avoid this. So
we've tried.
We have tried for many, many years.
It hasn't worked.
It has not. So we've confessed that it's hard for us to talk about money. Why do you think it's hard generally for people to talk about money?
I think generally speaking, there's a lot of contradiction when it comes to messages around money. Mm-hmm. For example, I know one message I've always heard, and I actually do this in my own house. If my daughter says, hey, mom, how much money do you make? How dare you ask that? That is so rude. That cost, right? We have more of that conversation, but we have grown up with this idea that it's rude to talk about money. And then we wonder why when we go to have a conversation within our marriages, why it completely fails. Because it's essentially, it's rude to talk about money. Oh, but you have to talk about money or it's going to lead to a lot of problems in your marriage.
Right. And if we grew up thinking that it was rude to talk about money, that means that we probably didn't gain the skill set that we needed to be able to manage
money.
Well, right?
No wonder we avoid.
Because we don't know what we're doing.
Correct.
And we don't know how to do it without conflict.
Mm-hmm. I'll be the first to admit that I could be a lot better when it comes to money. And I wish I learned to budget. I did not learn to budget. I did not study accounting. It was not something that was taught. And I firmly believe that budgeting and money management and looking at this stuff should be something that is taught at a young age, both inside and outside the home.
Yes.
Personal opinion here.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like without any skill, I think I always just felt like then when I make more money, money won't be a problem, right? The problem about money is that I just need more of it. But that has
more money,
not
more
played
problems.
Out. Right. That has played out.
Bringing it back to the 90s again, right?
Yes,
more money,
girl.
More problem. But,
you
know, here's this thing that I hear all the time, too, with a lot of younger couples that I will see or just younger folks in general is that this whole idea that if I just make more, it will be better. And I really think that we have this modern day American dream now, which is less about opportunity and much more about financial ability.
Right.
And with that, I see less flexibility and an unwillingness to make sacrifices when it comes to what we're willing to cut or where we want to spend. I think we've become a lot more rigid in it.
Yeah. And I think the idea is that anyone can be and everyone should be tremendously financially successful.
Yes.
A lot of times without effort or like a real job. I'm not going to go off on this right now. But sidebar, I just want to put a pin in this. This is a nasty trend on social media right now.
Oh, I hate it.
Like in the mom zone, there's so much bullshit that's like, I stayed home with my kids and we made sourdough and we're living the life that we want because we have time freedom. Because when I was doing all of that, just thousands of dollars poured into my bank account. Ask me how. I'm like, well, what's a fucking pyramid scheme? That's how.
No
shit. But there's
this
idea that like money can just come to you, that everyone is just going to get it. And so we can put off having the skill. Because I'm just going to like find a way. I mean, I'm trying. Don't get me wrong. I'm trying to find a way for magic money to come to my bank
account.
Same
girl.
So we've got this topic that is both deeply emotional and complicated and also totally necessary part of our everyday lives that we struggle to talk about or understand. And then we get married. And now we just have double the trouble. I mean, there are so many studies about the impact of money in marriage. It is often cited as either the top reason that people get divorced or one of the top few reasons that people get divorced. And again, there's a study that talks about how money-related arguments can be so much more vicious and intense than other arguments. Mm-hmm. But like, we don't need a study to tell us that.
We know that.
Yeah, everyone participating in this conversation, everyone listening knows. So what are some of the common problems that you see with money in marriage?
Well, because of the avoidance factor when it comes to talking about money, I think money as a topic comes up when it has to come up. Mm-hmm. So when spending needs to be cut or budgets need to be looked at, something needs to change. And to me, it's like, telling somebody, hey, use positive affirmations when you're in fight or flight. Guess what, folks? It ain't going to work.
Yes.
You can't tell your body like to be positive when you're in this place of fight or flight.
There are actually studies that show that this triggers the fight or flight response in your brain. Just four minutes of a financial conversation. Oh, yeah. We can feel it, right? You go, I'm normally a reasonably intelligent, engaged person. I can deal with hard stuff. But if my husband says, we should talk about spending, I shut down. And that's because money is tied to our survival. That's real.
It is. It's a sense of safety that we really forget to look at, right? Yeah. Is that sense of safety gets challenged when we talk about money.
Yep.
And I think naturally it's just become really, really easy to spend money in today's world. Mm-hmm. And that has changed. And I can't help but even think about how different it might be. Maybe I romanticize about it a little bit. If we still had checkbooks. Like you go to write a check and you're like, oh, wow. Like, he paid that bill or she paid that bill. Oh. And then you go to like, you know,
register.
Yes. Register.
Yeah.
See, this is why I still struggle with money. Didn't even remember what that was called. But then you look at, you're like, oh, this is how much is left. Oh, right. Okay. I have to wait till next month or next paycheck to buy this.
Right. Yes.
And if it would you're be not checking Chase or whatever bank, like my husband does 85,000 times a day, pretty much, you don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We also do the opposite. So there are good financial reasons to put everything on credit. Because you earn back some cash. But because we put everything on credit, it's kind of like magic money. Like the day of reckoning comes when the credit card bill comes in, at least for me. Actually, it never comes for me.
That's the thing. Like we fly free all the time because we put it on that. And I actually think it's caused a lot of problems.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest.
Yeah, for sure. So not only is it easy to spend money, but everything's so fucking expensive right now.
So expensive. And I think money conversation very much turns into a blame game for couples.
Yes.
Well, you spent this. Why did you have to do this? Well, I did that, but you did this. Why was that necessary? And it turns into this, you did, I did, whatnot. And it's just not productive.
No.
Everybody's in a state of defense.
Yeah. And can we just call out the fact that in your traditional male-female relationship, women tend to be the ones that spend the money.
Right.
And that's not about spending. That's about purchasing, procuring.
Correct.
That's what I like to remind the people that I work with. You are the chief procurement officer. You don't want to be the one who's running the grocery shopping list and buying the clothes for the kids and doing all of these things, but you are. And then what you get as thanks for that is criticism. Like when my husband says we need to spend less money, that means I have failed. I need to spend less money. So I've got the weight of making all of those decisions and all of those purchases. And then I've also got the blowback when things are expensive. And like I said, right now, groceries are expensive.
Horribly expensive.
Clothes are expensive. Shoes are expensive. Everything. Kids' activities are expensive. I'm the one running the card, but it's not for me. You
know? Lord, you can't even go to McDonald's anymore for cheap. No. I mean, it is very expensive, and you're right. And I think that a lot of women who do a lot of the purchasing for the home, I'm the grocery shopper. Mm-hmm. And so then my husband will see this huge number each week, and it's, hey, why are you spending so much on groceries? And there's that lack of knowledge, and he knows inflation, he knows prices are high, but he's just not doing it on a daily basis. And it's like, no. He's like, why are we spending so much? And yet I never have anything to eat. I'm like, I don't know.
You're like, I will kill you.
I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. I'm failing. Right. Yes. That doesn't go anywhere well.
And then of course, since that's the way that the conversation is kicked off, of course, then you're going to go, oh, that's so weird. Well, what about your golf, your new running shoes, your car? What about this or that, right? It, like you said, it's blame game, but we're really set up for that situation when we have one person who does most of the purchasing and there's money stress, which there's just always fucking money stress. I don't care how much money you make.
More money, more problems, folks. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, at least that's what I have seen because... Mm-hmm. More money gives you more choices and more opportunities, which can be a good thing. However, too many choices is also problematic. Like TV. Nobody can ever figure out what to watch on TV because there's too many damn choices.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I think we've just talked about when everything's going right with money. Like when everything's going as well as it can without having a really intentional conversation, which is where we're getting to, it's very difficult. But then there's so many ways that money can be used, like where things are going wrong. So like if money is used for power and control, you know, where one partner has to provide receipts, for example, or is given an allowance, for example, or where there is financial infidelity. So we agree not to spend more than X amount, or we agree that we'll check in for a big purchase, and then you roll up with a car. It is a betrayal just like every other kind of betrayal. Even this conversation, it's heated, it's emotional, it's personal, it's complicated. It's so much more than dollars because we've got to realize that we have a relationship with money that started when we were just kids. And that shapes our relationship with and our behaviors around money now. So, Jess, what's your money history?
People can see my face now, too.
Okay, I have consent to ask this question. I just want to be clear.
She does have consent. I didn't want to answer it, but, you know, classic avoidance. I was like, ugh, okay, fine. You know, when I was thinking about my relationship and kind of messages I received, I firmly believe that having divorced parents impacted my relationship with money. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to add the caveat that it wasn't necessarily the divorce itself. So divorced women out there who are listening to this, please don't just hear the divorce. It was the way in which my parents went about it and essentially the hatred they had for one another. And so my parents could not talk to one another about money. My mom would send my dad an itemized like document every month that he would have to pay. And a lot of times, I forgot about this until I was thinking about it. My stepdad would meet him at like the local Chili's and go over it. My mother would not even have the conversation with my dad. Even when I'm telling this story, it gives me a little anxiety because I remember the animosity that was happening with them. And I learned really quickly as the youngest child how to take advantage of the situation in childhood. So if my mom would say no to it, I would just go ask my dad. And like, honestly, because they didn't like each other, a lot of times it'd be like, well, your mom said she wouldn't buy it. Okay, cool. I'll buy it for you. I'll one up here. Right. And it was used as a tool against one another. I remember my mom's comments about my dad, like ripping her off or not giving her money. I mean, money was a very hot topic around me growing up. And it made me avoid even looking at it very young.
We share so much in that respect. My parents had a nasty divorce. And I do think, again, we acknowledge that this is complicated, that money was the way that they worked out their emotional distress against one another. And they fought about money the entire time that they had minor children, in and out of court. And it was constantly in my home growing up that we didn't have enough. And there was that blame, you know, well, because I'm not getting enough from your dad. We'd go to the grocery store, and I remember very distinctly that she would say things out loud like, I don't know if this check is going to clear.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of, you know, let's hope that it, and that's so stressful. And then she also loved to like catalog shop. And I don't actually know, because kids don't know what their parents, like, I don't know what those numbers look like. Maybe there was plenty of money coming in from her job and child support, and we weren't so close to destruction. And what she bought from the catalog wasn't that expensive. I don't know. But all I know is that there was a lot of tension, a lot of distress, a sense of money being used as a weapon back and forth, and just a sense that there wasn't enough. And I worried about it all the time. And I like I said, I started working when I was 14. And I always had a job. And I was always stressed about having enough money and stressed about having to ask for things that would cost money.
Yes. And I remember, because money was used as a weapon, my mom would often say, no, like, we can't afford that. And then my dad would then purchase it, which then, like, fast forward to young adulthood, I will say, and I tell parents this in my office all the time, my dad bailing me out financially screwed me over and over, because I never learned. But it was like his way of showing love. I don't know. Right? I mean, I'd ask him nowadays a lot different questions than then, but he kept bailing me out. But I think he always wanted to be like, oh, but look, I love you more. I love you more. Here's this money. I can bail you out. And then my mom would be like, he hides money. I mean, it was so toxic.
It was so toxic. And then I think that we are one of the first generations of people who were able to go to college. There was an expectation that everyone would go to college, at least where we grew up in the suburbs. And this whole ability to get loans was really easy. And so I work with people all the time who say, I can't believe my parents let me take out that kind of loan. And having loans for school was so stressful that I actually, I joined ROTC for college.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
I never knew that.
Oh, girl. Yeah, that's a story for another time. I ended up having to drop out and having to pay the US government money back. Thankfully, that was the best loan I ever got. But, you know, again, having debt as a young person is a very stressful situation, because we don't have these tools. And then we roll up into our marriages going, you're better than me, I'm bad with money. Those kind of messages become very internalized.
When I first started dating my husband, I was fortunate that I did not have to take out loans for undergrad. It was covered and paid for. I was very fortunate. And so when we met, we were very equal when it came to that. We did not have debt. However, he had substantially more than I did from a financial standpoint. Then when I decided to go back to grad school, well, then that did fall on me. I did have to take out loans for that. And then I accumulated some debt, right? So we get into marriage, and I now am entering the marriage with debt, and he does not have debt. And I think that can shift the power dynamic real quick when it's uneven like that.
It is. My husband had his college paid for, and I didn't. I felt like a personal, as a person, I felt like a liability from the beginning of our relationship, and just felt so much pressure. And he never made me feel like that, but I felt so bad and felt so much pressure and felt like I had this mark on me. And I know I'm not alone in that. That comes up all the time in therapy. Let's touch on just a couple of other events that could happen in your life when you're young that would impact a listener's relationship with values around and behaviors around money.
Well, when we talk about power, and how mm-hmm. money holds this power. I experienced this. I entered into my marriage with debt mm-hmm. and a year after lost my dad, who mm-hmm. was not married. And so everything that was his became my sister and I's, mm-hmm. which shifted the dynamic a little bit. Well, mm-hmm. now I had no debt and, you know, I was fortunate mm-hmm. and it shifted it. So really, really quickly. And it had kind of been talked about from an inheritance, but I mean, it kind of is yours. That's how we in our marriage look at it. Like mm-hmm. your family's is yours, right? Mm-hmm. But it complicated things really mm-hmm. early because we were in our 20s and I was a year into my new marriage. Mm-hmm. And it went from, oh, I'm feeling this way because I have all this debt to, whoa, now I don't have debt and I have this. And the mm-hmm. power dynamic shifted really quickly. And I did not know how to handle that.
Yeah.
So loss of a loved one can be really, really a big shifter.
Yeah. And if when you're young, you lose a loved one. So let's say that your parents were always saving for what came next. And then your mom or dad died. You may go, why do we save? We should live. Mm-hmm. We should spend. Mm-hmm. Or like if you saw a parent have a devastating job loss and things became really tight, you might say, we can't spend any money. We need to have money saved up. It's the most important thing.
And I will say, as a woman, my history and what happened to my mother, right? My dad left my mm-hmm. mom for another woman, mm-hmm. kind of left her high and dry. And so that messaging, your parents' history with it, your family's history of do not ever put yourself in a position where you're that vulnerable. Mm-hmm. That was the message I received. And mm-hmm. I think that impacts things mm-hmm. where it can change overnight. Mm-hmm. Do not be vulnerable to that. Yeah. And that messaging, right, wrong, or the other, impacts these conversations that we have in marriages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The messaging is everything. And then one more thing that really stuck out for me is if you were raised in a community where your money status was different than everyone else's around you, like I think the communities that we're raised in, the lifestyle that we're accustomed to, it impacts all of our behaviors, our expectations going forward. But when there was a mismatch, especially if everyone around you seemed to have tons of money and your family was struggling and it could even feel shameful, that can impact our behaviors and our values and our thoughts around money.
And the whole keeping up with the Joneses, mm-hmm. right? How old is that saying? And yet yeah. it still applies. Mm-hmm. Also, why can't I be the Jones? Just a total side comment, but I want to be the Jones.
You're somebody's Jones.
You know what? That's a great point. That's a great point, my friend. Mm-hmm.
I cannot believe I'm saying this, but for the first time in Honest Women history, we have to stop our conversation in the middle. I know.
I don't like it.
I'm going to make you talk about this two times.
I feel so incomplete right now. I feel so unsettled. I don't like it.
Okay. Well, let me give you one thing to take with you that might help.
Essentially, you're calming me down on our listeners right now.
I am. And maybe our listeners. I don't know. So this is the first step to having better relationship with and better conversations around money. It is identifying what your personal history is and trying to be curious around how it's shaped your behaviors and your values. And to make this a marriage thing, that would be sitting down with your spouse and saying something that's very open and curious, like, what money lessons did you learn growing up? And you share yours and you see if you guys can just come to the table with a little more understanding, a little more context, and a true commitment to the idea that no one is right or wrong about money. We just both bring really different things based on our experiences and our expectations. Okay, so we are rapidly approaching the 1-year anniversary of the Honest Women podcast.
And they can see me dancing.
Yes, they can. It's a big thing. It's a big, big thing. And as we've reflected on the last year of Honest Conversation, we have just come to realize that these conversations are best when they're not just content to consume, but a jumping off point for more honesty in your own life. Because honest reflection and conversation is the first step to real connection with yourself and others. And you, our friend, deserve nothing less than real connection. So please don't let the honest conversation end here. First, share this episode with a friend or three who needs to be able to have better conversations, insight about money, and then go off and have one of your own and make sure you are subscribed to the pod so you don't miss the second half of this conversation. You've just finished an episode of the Honest Women podcast. We are so honored that you would spend this time with us. We have so much more where this came from and don't want you to miss a minute. So please, right now, take a second to follow the show. While you're there, leave us a 5-star rating and a review. It's the best way to help other women find our show so they can join the conversation. And if you have a friend who could use a little more honesty in her life, and who couldn't, send this episode directly to her. Actually, send this episode to anyone you want to. Everyone's welcome here. We'll be back next Wednesday speaking some truth and feeling some feels. Until then, hang in there, ladies. This has been Honest Women.